I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And we're continuing our series in Jesus' name. And we started out this whole series by asking the Lord to teach us to pray. Each week is a prayer. The second week was Our Father in Heaven. Teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Last week was Help Me, one of the most common prayers that we see in Scripture, Help Me. And tonight, I'm contrasting it with one of the most frequent things we see in the ministry of Jesus with the most frequent prayer request we receive here at the church. And it's this prayer, Heal Me. It's a very important topic for us. Matthew chapter 20, and the story that we're going to be looking at tonight is the occasion in Matthew when Jesus heals two blind men. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 29. Says, and as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And stopping, everybody say stopping. Jesus called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, let our eyes be open. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus said. And they very simply prayed, Lord, let our eyes be open. And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Lord, I know we've prayed a lot tonight, but I would just like to simply ask you that you would help the word of the Lord and increase our faith, the hearing of it to our hearts and minds, Lord, to build our faith in you, trusting you for whatever we would need. Lord, I pray that you would also touch me in my voice, and Lord, we just pray that you'd help me get through this, and that, Lord, you would oversee everything that is said. And Lord, we give the altar time ministry to you this evening as well. Help us, we pray, in your name. Amen. So tonight, I'd like to talk about healing, but my goal tonight is not to answer all of the difficult questions about healing. Certainly all of you have figured out all of the answers. I know many of you that I know have taught on this subject for many years. And actually, it's, of course, a little tongue-in-cheek joke because for all of those that I've heard in this room preach or teach before on this topic, I have always heard you say things like, we don't know why. So I'm not going to pretend to have all of the answers tonight, and indeed, we don't know why, which it does remind me of a humorous story. You probably heard the one about the Pentecostal and the Presbyterian, and I'm going to tell that tonight. Any joke that starts out that way, you just, I'm in it, okay? So Pentecostal and Presbyterian, they get on an airplane. They're in it for a long flight. They sit right next to each other. Of course, the Presbyterian's wanting to talk about all of the difficult questions in life, and the Pentecostal wants to do what? Take a nap. Okay, so Presbyterian says, how about a game? And the Pentecostal says, I'm not really in for it. I would just like to, you know, go to sleep and take a rest. And the Presbyterian presses the issue. Oh, come on, game. Here's the game. I ask a question, and if you can't answer it, you have to give me $5. And if you ask a question that I can't answer, I will give you $5. Pentecostal just said, okay, let's do it. So the Presbyterian says, why, when you pray, is not everybody healed? Pentecostal says, pulls out his wallet, gives the man $5. So the Pentecostal says, what goes up a mountain with four legs and comes down with three? And he turns around and takes a nap. Well, this just got the Presbyterian thinking, oh my land, I have no idea. So he uses all of the resources. He looks up on his Bible software all of the four-legged and three-legged creatures, and maybe it's something having to do with Mount Sinai or something like that, and he comes up empty. So he uses the little airphone. He charges a credit card. He calls back to the office. He gets his whole research team just looking for this whole thing, and he spends hours on it. The Pentecostals sound asleep. Eventually, the Presbyterian just gives up in frustration. He wakes up the Pentecostal, and he says, "Here's $5. I cannot figure it out." Pentecostal takes the $5, and so I'm sorry, I messed up. I'm terrible at telling jokes. The Presbyterian, because he forced the Pentecostal to play the game, said that what he would do is, if he couldn't answer the question, he would give him $50. Okay, so that changes it, doesn't it? So he's frustrated. That's why he spent so long on it. That's right. So he gives the Pentecostal $50. Pentecostal takes the $50, turns around and goes back to sleep. Presbyterian's like, "No way. What is the answer to that question?" Pentecostal turns around and gives him $5, and he ends up keeping $40 out of the whole thing. Boom! That's a Pentecostal for you. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so, you know, we don't know all of the difficult questions when it comes to healing, that's for sure. And, you know, there's some things about life and about serving the Lord that it is a mystery. And I told a joke. I made up that joke. As you can tell, it's a terrible joke. Because, you know, I think sometimes we take ourselves too serious in this stuff. You know, we're trying to figure out all of the answers on this side of eternity, and sometimes they're just not there. They're difficult questions. And that's why we've got to have faith, isn't it? And so tonight, what I'd like you to do is I want to look at this story, and I'd like to give us three spiritual prescriptions, if you would, for the sick. Now, spiritual prescriptions is a term that I'm borrowing from my grandmother, because she says, because of my degree's not worth anything except for giving out spiritual prescriptions and not real prescriptions. So she asked me, like, "Well, why did you go to school, and what does doctor mean if I can't get, like, a Z-Pack from you or something like that?" I said, "Grandma, I don't know. I'm sorry." And she said, "Well, you can write spiritual prescriptions." I said, "Well, that's very gracious of you to say that." So we're going to try our hand tonight at three spiritual prescriptions out of this story. And hopefully they're not mine, but they're the Lord's. So as they went out to Jericho, a great crowd followed him. They are getting ready to enter into the town of Jerusalem. And this is what we call Palm Sunday. This is a great celebration. Their hopes for Jesus at this point is at the highest that it's ever been in the 3.5 years of his ministry. Jesus to them is their rock star. I mean, everything is wrapped up in this man that they're following. And behold, the scripture says, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Which, of course, just a sideline, Son of David is a messianic title that they would give. So Son of David is, and Lord, have mercy on us. This is, as one scholar said, this is the gospel all wrapped up in one phrase. Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. But the point that I want to bring to you tonight is this. We've got to bring our concerns to Jesus, even when you're discouraged. Look at this. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us." So Jesus was on this important mission, and, you know, I just have to assume that the people with him, the crowd following him, would have left them there because Jesus was on an important mission. But somehow their cry gets the attention of Jesus. Now I want us to stop and just slow down for a second. Maybe you have been searching and praying for something that would inspire your prayer life, inspire you to persist in prayer. We just heard a great testimony from LaDonna. I mean, part of my testimony, I prayed every day for 12 years for my dad to get saved. And the first call that I got from him was not that he got saved, but that he was sick. You know, you may pray every day for someone or something, and you may want to get you may be discouraged in your prayer life. Some people may even discourage you. But my friend, bring your concern to Jesus even when you are discouraged. You see, sickness can sideline a person just like these two blind people. I've seen people that are going through life and then something either traumatic happens to them, they get a diagnosis of a chronic illness. Two semesters ago, we started a small group for persons with dealing with chronic illness. And as I heard the leader of that group explain to me what she has gone through with her chronic illness for decades, my heart just went out because, you know, she has seen the church do activities and she has had to say, I can't do it because I'm sick. And I couldn't help but to think about these blind men when she was saying that. These blind men can hear, of course, not see. They hear these crowds coming. They hear people saying, it's Jesus coming. It's Jesus coming. They can hear and they want to be a part. But they're not a part of that crowd yet. They're not following him yet. And you know, sometimes that's what happens when we are sick, isn't it? It discourages us. And there is nothing in my experience of being a pastor here at Central. We receive more prayer requests about healing than anything else. To which it's led me to think that there is nothing that brings us to our knees more than some sort of physical testing in our life, some sort of healing that is necessary in our life. And the crowds tried to discourage them. Of course, we know what this word means, discourage, right? This is the word encourage or courage. Not encourage, but courage with the prefix dis on it, or to take away. You know, so this crowd was taking away the courage that they had to stand up and to do what's right. It's like they were taken away. And how many times, I tell you, how many times have you been discouraged by the things you've heard, the things you've seen, to not persist in prayer? And I want to confess to you that I haven't always been on the cheering side of this. Just a few weeks ago, I was meeting with somebody, and my wife and I were meeting with their family, and they were going through a very difficult situation. The person is experiencing a deep load of post-traumatic stress disorder and related to a very, very traumatic situation in their lives. And as we were sitting there, I felt that we were just having pizza, and it was good pizza, not the bad pizza that you end up telling bad things, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully it's not bad pizza. This was good pizza and good fellowship, and all of a sudden I felt like the Holy Spirit, at lunch of all places, just said, encourage her. Encourage her. And you know, I did. I said, you know what? I believe you're going to make it through this. And I was sharing this with Pastor Jeff just last week. And you know, I started getting emotional when I told her that, because you know what I realized? I realized I've been asking people too much, why? Why did this happen? I've been trying to figure out all of the details. And I've been trying to figure out, what are the doctors saying to you? What are the doctors saying the prognosis is? What are the treatments that we can do? No, I'm not against treatment. That's not that kind of statement. I'm just simply saying I was more curious than I was helpful and encouraging. And you know what? I felt like the Lord said, it is not your job to figure out all of the reasons why something is happening in a person's life. You encourage them. You speak life to them. And you know what? Sometimes we've got to make sure that we're not in the crowd of discouragers, but we're in the crowd that Jesus is a part of that says, you know what? What do you need from him? And I'm going to bring your need to him. Amen? We pray with persistence. We encourage people. Bring your concern to Jesus, even when you're discouraged. Now, here's why you can do that. Number two, God's goal for you is wholeness. God's goal for you is wholeness. Now, we believe in divine healing. Our members that are going through membership class right now, probably about this time, they're hearing about this great doctrine. It's one of our four cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God. It's not just one of our cardinal doctrines. Other people believe that too. Now, some people do not believe, that claim to be Christians, do not believe in healing, but I'm not going to spend time on all of that. I just simply want to remind us all here, I know you know this, but I want us to remember and reflect on the fact that God can heal us. God can heal us. This doctrine states that through Christ's death on the cross, we can experience divine healing in our bodies. And just briefly to review, when Adam and Eve rebelled, everything fell out of harmony. And that's why sickness has come into the world. I like how Max Lucado said it. Sin opened the door and sickness walked through it. You know, that pretty much sums it up right there. Sin and sickness are consequences of the same rebellion, but the good news is that the same Redeemer solves and heals them both. And here's the problem. I think this doctrine, sometimes where people I just heard through, I listened to a sermon by someone who does not believe in miracles today. They believe they were closed at the conclusion of the New Testament. So I thought I would listen to a sermon from him on this topic of healing. And one thing that he said was, I guess he was saying it as a testimony in his church, but he said that he has talked to many people, he said, in his church that have left Charismatic and Pentecostal churches. They left their churches because they did not experience the healing they prayed for. So I thought that would be a good point to bring up. You know, sometimes we get this doctrine of healing confused because we separate it from the doctrine of the resurrected body, okay? So every prayer, hear me clearly, every prayer of the faithful for healing will be one day answered with a resounding yes. I love how my late friend Stanley Horton put it. He had a way of putting things succinctly. And he said, Dr. Horton said, divine healing is not a means of avoiding the aging process. We are all aging and approaching death. And divine healing is not a doctrine of delaying the aging process. No, it is. So what is healing? You know, healing is when we pray, it's a sign to us. It's a sign to us that God is still working today. And I had breakfast with somebody Saturday morning, and he said, you know, why don't we hear about healings in the church very often? And I said, it's because we don't tell them enough. And I really believe that. I'm getting a little, you know, passionate up here. I hope it's not angry, but I'm getting a little passionate up here. Because there has not been a week that has gone by lately that I have not heard of an incredible healing or an incredible answer to prayer. See, I think we've got a communication problem. I don't think we have a God problem. I think we're not getting the word out enough. It's like the story I just heard on Good Morning America. Maybe you saw this, that there was a kid who drowned. They took a picture. This 15-year-old kid dropped through this lake. It was freezing. They were on top of ice. He dropped through the lake. He was out, no pulse or anything, for 15 minutes. They got him to the doctor. The doctors were trying to resuscitate him. Nothing, could not get a heartbeat. They invited the mom to come back in, and they were going to say, we've done everything we can. We wanted you to come in. The mom comes in. The doctor said, we cannot get a pulse or a heartbeat. We're very sorry. And she cries out. This is on national news. She cries out, Holy Spirit, and then the name of the kid, his heart starts beating like that. And he's on his way to make a full recovery. And, you know, what's amazing to me is the doctors even said, the nurses, they're interviewing him, they said, it's a bona fide miracle. It's a bona fide miracle. And, my friend, I want to tell you, Jesus is still alive and working today, and he can work in your body tonight. And don't just take my word for it. Let me give you three of my favorite scriptures about this. Isaiah chapter 53 in verses 4 and 5. You can see them on the screen behind me. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. I love the Old Testament. I really like the book of Exodus. If you're reading through the Bible with us, you've probably passed through this scripture just a few days ago. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. I love how one translator said, this is could literally be phrased, I am the Lord, your physician. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases. Again, these are in the Hebrew, these are active participles. So you could literally say the forgiver of all of your sins and the physician for all of your diseases. That's our Jesus that we serve right there. He's the healer and he's the forgiver. So pray about your concern even when you're discouraged. Trust God's plan for you is complete wholeness. And finally, just my declaration to you, he will heal you. Instantly or gradually or ultimately. Look at it in verses 32 through 34. And stopping, Jesus called to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, let our eyes be open." Now, these two verses have just, oh man, they're just powerful. You know, Lord, the Lord says to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind men just say, "We want to see." You know, last week I told you sometimes we complicate praying because we try to pray our outcomes instead of just bringing our request. You know, these men just brought their request. "We just want to see, Lord. We just want to see." And you know, they trusted him. And Jesus, in pity, it says, verse 34, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight. Now, a couple of points I'd like to make with you. I want to tell you, first of all, the first point of this is he will heal you. You know, faith in healing is not the same thing as faith in God, as I think Pastor was mentioning just earlier tonight. Faith means whether I'm visibly healed or not right now, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So sometimes, the Lord will bring an immediate healing like in the case of these two blind men. But sometimes he may heal you gradually. It's the truth. Sometimes he may heal you gradually. I think about the man that was in Bethsaida. I believe it's in Mark chapter 8. And this blind man came to Jesus, and Jesus takes some sort of spit and mud or something and rubs it in his eyes. And Jesus says, "Can you see?" And the blind man said, maybe you remember the response. The response was, "Well, I see people, but they look like trees." So Jesus does it again. You know, sometimes it's a gradual process. And you know what? His healing for you may be ultimate. And I'm not sure if this is an appropriate verse or not, but I think it is good to try to find a verse for every point you're trying to make. But I was thinking about Paul when he said, I prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove this thorn from me, but he didn't. Instead, he says, "Your grace is sufficient for me." You know, we don't know that what ended up happening there and all of that, but you know, sometimes I want to tell you, our ultimate healing is where we're all going one of these days. You know, I remember I was in college one time when I was at CBC. We would take these wonderful spring ministry trips we were challenged to do. And one spring ministry trip, I, along with some other friends, we took one of these preaching music ministry things on the road for a couple of services. And we went down to Arkansas. Now you know if God's moving in Arkansas, then he's really, I'm just kidding, won't make an Arkansas joke. I like Arkansas. Well, we were down in Arkansas, and we were at this church, and we did some worship. Several of us told our testimonies and preaching. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It was mediocre at best, okay? It was just mediocre. We were trying to do our best as college students. And I just, I looked at those people and I just thought, boy, I hope we're helping them and not hurting them tonight. And the pastor gets up and as all great pastors do, this pastor just kind of wrapped it up, put a nice bow on it. I thought, I hope I can do that one day. I'm still hoping I can do that one day. And he invited people to come forward for prayer. And he said, "If you need prayer, we want to invite you to come forward. We're going to have these college students lay their hands on you." And so this guy came up and he said that he has been deaf in his right ear for a very long time. I can't remember how many years. So long story short, we prayed for him. The guy said, "God bless you, sir," and he started walking back to his pew, and he was about halfway down that aisle, about just like this, and he stops and he shouts, and the shout was so loud that, just the chill bumps went up my back, And he turns around and he covers up his good ear and he says, "Pastor, say something to me." And he's like, "Brother Bob," you know. And the guy just breaks, falls to his knees, and his ears came open just like that. And you should have seen all these CBC students, I mean, including me. You'd have thought we were praising God. We were scared to death. We all hit our knees. We're like, "Oh, Jesus," you know. And I'll be honest with you, it was the first immediate healing that I'd ever seen like that. But I want to tell you, it has stuck with me all these years. In 2004, I was on a youth trip with my youth group in Toledo, Ohio. And I got the phone call you never want to get from your father. My father had never even been in the hospital before, and he called me and he said, "The doctors have told me that I've got stage 4 throat cancer, and it's not looking very good. It's inoperable. And you're the praying type, son, so I thought I would just call you." My dad was not a Christian. So Calvary Assembly of God in Toledo, Ohio, started praying for my dad. We started praying for him every day. I got every youth leader to write him a note of prayer every week. Every week I got a different, we had about 45 adult youth leaders, and every week I had a different youth leader write him. I'd call my dad every day and talk to him. I was turning up the dial on the witnessing thing, and I was praying every day for my dad for 12 years that he'd give his heart to Christ. And the first phone call I got was that he had cancer. He went through one round of chemo radiation and one round of chemo and one round of radiation. And he was going back in to see if it did any good. And I flew down there. It was a very special time because this report was going to show if we had any chance or not. And before I left for the hospital, my mom, my dad, and I were sitting out in my driveway. And I'd never done this before with them because they weren't really believers. They were not believers, so it had been a little odd. But I grabbed their hands, just like we do prayer circles here. And there weren't two or three of us. It was just me. I grabbed their hand. I said, "I'm going to pray for you guys." I bowed my head. I prayed the boldest prayer I could ever pray. I prayed for him just like I'd pray for any of you. And I prayed that the Lord would heal him. And that was on a Monday. He went for the report on Tuesday, and on Wednesday he called me and he told me, "The doctor said all of the cancer is gone." That was 2004. He's still cancer-free to this day. You know, the best news of that is both my mom and dad turned their hearts to the Lord after that. That's the best news of all. You know, because that is what matters for eternity. But I want to tell you, sometimes the Lord will heal somebody for a sign for them based on no faith of their own. That's why we have to pray. I've been trying to tell you this whole series, prayer matters. If we just say, "He's got cancer, oh man, I hope he's okay." No, we pray and we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. And you know, I've got a friend named Joe who attends this church. And Joe is a dear friend of mine. He's about my age. And in 2006, he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. We've prayed for Joe often here in this church. Joe is entering his second of two recent rounds of chemotherapy. He started it yesterday. He's still wrestling with it. Joe has battled with blindness and all kinds of things. And Joe is still wrestling with this. The interesting thing is, Joe, his job is to help people with disabilities find work. And Joe says, "You know, I could complain about my tumor, or I could look at it like a tumor-tunity. It is my opportunity, every chance I get, to tell somebody that Jesus is helping me and that he is getting me through." So he says, "Mike, I know you're a pastor, but I probably share my faith more than you do." And I said, "You're probably right. You're probably right." Because every time he sits with somebody and they complain about a disability, he says, "Well, you know what? I serve the Lord. I've got a tumor. I've had a tumor for 9 years. And the Lord's helping me. I'm still a dad. He was blind. I remember I escorted him to a fireworks show one time when he didn't have any sight, and took him back to his car, took him home, all this kind of stuff. But he can see now. He can drive and everything, and the tumor's not growing. We thank God for that, and he's given him 9 great years, and we pray and he gives him more years. I still pray the Lord will heal that, you know? But Joe and I have had those kind of talks where, you know what, Joe? Your healing may come ultimately. And he goes, Mike, I'm all right with that. He goes, every day I get to share about Jesus doing something in my heart. And I want to tell you, man, that's the kind of faith that says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, I don't know what you're here for tonight. And maybe you're here and you don't have any sort of healing issue in your life. But I want to encourage you tonight that you can come to the Lord and you can just say, Lord, heal me. It gets Jesus' attention. You have his attention. Ask your request, and I pray you would be healed. I pray you'd be healed instantly. If not, I pray you'd be healed gradually. But my friend, I hope all of you are at the place in your life and in your faith where you can all say, Lord, ultimately, I'm going to be healed. If you're not in that place where you can say that tonight, you can get right with God tonight. I want to tell you that. You don't have to wait to a Sunday morning service. You don't have to wait till you go home tonight. You can do that tonight. I also want to encourage you tonight, if you've come tonight for healing, we'd like to pray for you. I love how James gives us the instructions that if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise him up. And I've asked some prayer partners, and along with some of the pastors tonight, what I'd like us to do, I'm going to call you, I'd like to invite you to come to the altars, and over on this side, I'd like everybody that would like request healing, either for you or maybe you're standing in for somebody, or whatever that healing might be, I want to encourage you to come to this side. We've got some people that want to pray for you over here, and if you just want to come and seek the Lord tonight, we're going to reserve this spot over here for you. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and after I finish closing, I want to invite you to come and find a place to seek the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your great power to heal us, to give us your strength, Lord, to see us through. And Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith tonight, to trust you, our faith in you, Lord, to give us strength for any of those that are dealing with a sickness, Lord. And maybe they've just hung it up, that it is what it is, and they've just sort of resigned themselves. They've quit. Lord, I pray they wouldn't listen to the crowds, the discouraging crowds. Oh, Lord, but they would be encouraged tonight through the power of Jesus' name. Lord, to once again just bring their simple request to you, that you would touch them and heal them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this great night to look into your word about healing. And we ask you that you would now minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand if you would. And if you'd like to come and find a place at these altars, why don't you come find a place, either a place of asking for healing or a place where you'd just like to come and seek the Lord. God bless you.